Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you.
Oh, good morning, good morning. Our treat today is going to be time travel on Suluwa. You know, here, my guest and I speak up so that you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. You're going to want to act upon what you hear this morning about Early Mart Music Vancouver discussing and previewing what audiences will hear. Some of the most acclaimed works of beloved Baroque composer J.S. Bach. My guests are Susie LeBlanc. She's the executive director. She'll tell us more about that. Alexander Weidman, the music director of Pacific Baroque Orchestra, and Chloe Myers, violinist and concert master. We are traveling back in time with some people who've got globally acclaimed work and bringing it to you right here. So, Chloe, would you like to start and just tell people a bit more about your role as executive director?
Susie. I think you're talking about Susie.
I'm the artistic and executive director of Early Music Vancouver. Thank you for having me on the show. So I arrived here in 2021, and I took over this organization, which has been existing for 53 years. So actually 55 years this year. It's really been an extraordinary addition to the Vancouver cultural society, and so. We do this music from the 1600s to 1750 and a bit before and a bit after. So works of music that have stood the test of time, that are still around, that have been survived, that have been kept, and that have survived all sorts of tragedies. And it's extraordinary that we still have that music on paper and that we can still perform it, because the only reason it survived is because it's so good and so exciting to still hear it today and so current still. So it is just a very exciting festival to be running. It's the 8th festival this year.
And for some people who may not have a music background, could you describe or explain what early music means?
Well, it's not for children, and it's not early in the morning. Those are two things we can clarify right away. It's really music from, you know, about 400 years back. So let's say that we start around the turn of the 17th century, when the birth of opera happened, if you've heard of opera, and when like any time in the world, there were many different styles of music going on at once. There was serious music, church music, street music, you know, traditional musics, and court music, because of course there were a lot of courts back then that had a lot of money to put on these lavish entertainments. So it's very, very many different styles of music that existed simultaneously. And we just think that the beauty of the music is enough to just make sure that it never, never stops being played, because it's, you know, people like J.S. Bach and Claudio Monteverdi, who are just the great, great composers, still admired today. So it's old music, but for today.
Now, I'm going to ask you more about some of your accolades, but give a chance for people to hear our, all of the guests are in order. But I'll see. Alexander Weidman, music director of the Pacific Baroque Orchestra, which was founded in 1998. And officially became a part of Early Music Vancouver in 2016. Can you tell us more about your illustrious worldwide career?
Well, I can tell you what brought me to early music, and I'm trying to resonate what Susie just outlined so beautifully. Traveling to the past, and I think some educated person or author once said that, is actually that traveling to a very foreign country, so to a place that is unknown to us, and where people have different habits, different culture, different way of living, different language, of course, and different music. And I find that field of what we call early music so fascinating, because it just never stops holding discoveries. And I've been in that field for four decades now, and I still feel like a beginner, and never stop learning totally new pieces or composers. Or, and that's the other aspect, the beauty and the depth of those masterpieces that Suzy referred to, that are just inexhaustible, and you will never find the bottom, you know, to the depth of those pieces of heritage, mankind's heritage, really. And I was drawn to the repertoire, I should say, through playing the organ, which has its prime time actually before that repertoire, from 1600s on. A lot of the greatest organ music is actually from the time even earlier, and goes up to 1800 or so, 1850. And that repertoire put my attention to early music, and then I wanted to learn to play the harpsichord, to do more chamber music, and was involved in different orchestras before I decided to mainly conduct. That's the story. It feels like a journey of discovery, really, and mysteriously, though, some of the music that I discovered is remote to us by any terms, religiously, philosophically, historically, in any possible way. I'm still amazed how immediately touching those pieces can be, though they are so far away from us. So I think that's what kept me in the business, and with being part of Early Music Vancouver, I know that I'm with one of the best organizations in that field, certainly in that country, if not above. And it's great to be here.
Great having you part of this Bach Unleashed. Chloe Myers is a violinist and a concert master of the Pacific Baroque Orchestra. And she's also co-concert master of Aryan Baroque Orchestra in Montreal. Time traveler and multi-location person. How do you feel? How do you manage those roles?
Still
smiling.
Yes, I am. It's a lot on my plate, but it's a job of passion. I think any kind of artwork that we do on these instruments. And I wanted to actually add to what Alex and both Suzy were talking about when they were talking about the festival. I think the idea, when you hear Pacific Baroque Orchestra, when you hear that, you hear the word Baroque in it. And so we think, okay, so that must be Baroque music, which is true, but it's also Baroque instruments. And that's what I also wanted to have the listeners understand, is that my research as a violinist is that I go and study historically what instruments they would have played. And when you hear Baroque violin versus a modern violin, which what you would hear if you went to the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra, they're two very similar looking instruments, and they're very different sounding instruments. And so I went through, like, most of the players, I would say, in this generation, have gone through modern study of violin or their instruments, and then they've fallen in love with the music of that time and said, well, that's just amazing. And then half of it is the love of the music and half of it is the love of the sounds that you can find on these instruments that are actually not really used anymore. So for instance, when we play the Monteverdi Vespers this summer, we use instruments that sackbuts, which is the early form of the trombone, or the cornettis, which are these different instruments that you would never hear if you went to the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra. But we have those instruments because those were the instruments that existed, and that's the way that they were played, that music composed by those composers at that time. So for me, coming backwards to the being on the violin, on the Baroque violin versus the modern violin, for me, it's really, it's a passion where I completely nerded out. When you were already a music nerd, I completely nerded out and went to like 200s sort of years range and specialized on that instrument. And that's why I have to move around to play, because Vancouver and any North American city essentially can't support just one type of work in early music. So I don't play modern violin anymore professionally. So I have to move around to make my living. I also teach at, you know, the university, but I have to take my living and make it in pockets to make this passion of mine be still front and center.
Yeah, I know you have a passion for training young artists in the Baroque Orchestra mentorship program. Could you tell people who might want to know more about that? Well, I want to know more, and we're time traveling, so I think the things that you said, it's important, because people who make movies about Back to the Future often use comedy, but you have just a serious load of personal commitment.
The very interesting thing is I wish I could remember the name of it, but one of the first Baroque gigs that I had with Alex was that we played a video game recording. Do you remember, mm-hmm. Alex? It was like Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. And we're actually on that video, that if you go into one of the rooms that's in the past, when you enter the room to play on that game, which is a pretty big game, you'll hear us playing violin and harpsichord together, which is absolutely hilarious. That's time travel for you, right? In all sort of forms. But we call it the BOMP Orchestra. And it's Baroque Orchestra Mentorship Program. And we run it through UBC, but it's very unique because it's not just a student orchestra. It involves student and professional community members. So what Alex and I are doing is we're trying to say, here, the university has this wealth of amazing instruments that they have in these rooms that can be lent out, and we can learn how to play this together. Because I believe the CBC Orchestra used to have, for instance, that played is now not anymore, they had all the Baroque bows and they donated them all to UBC when they were done. And so the students that are there and the community professional members can come and they can get a hold of an instrument and they can sit in a class with Alex and I, where we have members of the orchestra that are working one-on-one to train that. And at the same time, they're sort of like learning through own chamber music or orchestral works, and they're getting the exposure. And the wonderful thing about that is because it's not just a student program, and because it's a professional, some of those professionals hang around for a really long time and they get years of experience, and then we can hire them professionally. So we're just turning the circle. We're trying to make it full circle. We're trying to get these players become students that become professional players that can grow our orchestra here in Vancouver, because we want local. We mm-hmm. want to grow our players. We want we love to bring in our artists and be fed by them, but we want this here in Vancouver.
If I may add, so the Baroque Mentorship Orchestra Program, every summer they are playing in the festival in some form, in some concert. So we always include them. And this summer they're playing two concerts for free. They're free concerts on Granville Island on July 27th at noon and at 1 p.m. So if you want to hear the players of the Baroque Mentorship Orchestra Program, led by Chloe Myers, and our artist in residence is also going to be on Granville Island. He's a mandolin player. He's called Alon Seriel. So that's a really great way to just get introduced to Baroque music. Just come down and have lunch in Granville Island on the 27th of July, and you'll hear what we do.
Now, speaking of promoting what happens in Vancouver, that's one of the goals of CJSF as a radio station. We are in front of Simon Fraser University. We are a campus college radio station. And one of the things we aim to do is give musicians an opportunity to get their work played, to be heard, have it played without having to pay somebody $50 or $100 or whatever just to hear their music. So I think that's something you could share with students that you have, that there's an opportunity for their music to be heard on CJSF.
Fabulous.
Yeah, really fabulous.
Another role that you talked about, Chloe, is teacher and training young artists in the Baroque Orchestra Mentorship Program. Is there anything online about that program?
I believe everything that's held. Yeah, I'll let Susie take over.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something on our own website, which is earlymusic.bc.ca. And it's also, of course, on the University of British Columbia website, because it's part of the music program, and Alex can tell us more about that.
Yeah, it's an interesting program in many ways, and I believe quite unique to the education scene. I don't know of any other models in neighboring universities. In that, it's as Chloe mentioned, it's a collaboration of teachers, but then already professional musicians, but not so trained in Baroque, and students, and even community members. And it's also unique in that way that it's a cooperation between Early Music Vancouver and UBC, University of British Columbia, and. It has its difficulties, you know, the whole thing of bringing two bodies and bureaucracies potentially together, but it's very fascinating, and it's in life now, I believe, for 8 years or so, and it has come to more life and fruition, I believe it's the word, than I would have expected. So it's a very vital program, and over the years has now been drawing, I think, something like 50 participants every year. So it's quite big, almost bigger than we can make it with our moderate forces, right? So we need to grow.
Mm-hmm. Each of you have mentioned collaboration. Do you think early music and what you've done with it helps people in collaboration with other things?
It's a very beautiful question. I think, I mean, in music, like in arts these days, it's really difficult to do something extraordinary by yourself. And if you tried to recreate a work of 300 or 400 years ago and all the research and all the things that you need to go in that, it's going to be a lot easier if you've got collaborators. So I think we've all learned how to collaborate. It's also early music, you know, we have an orchestra, but there's not really a conductor sometimes, but not automatically a conductor standing up in the front and waving a stick at the musicians for keeping the beat. Often Alex will conduct, but he's sitting playing the keyboard at the same time and nodding his head and bringing somebody in with a hand and then playing. So it's a very collaborative environment when we make the music itself. So they often played it with, you know, the band was either conducted by somebody at the keyboard, or often the first violin, the concertmaster, would be the one to lead the orchestra. So already there, we're far from that kind of hierarchy of one person telling everybody what to do. It's a very collaborative way of making music.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would just add one thing is that often while we're playing music that's from the past, we're from the future, and we have to collaborate together with their music, which is what we have left, to make something breathe in today's world. So just because we play historical music doesn't mean we belong in that history, but we're trying to make that music really relevant to today's world as well. And that uses musicians from today's world to collaborate with those long gone to make really great music live.
There's a lot of improvisation in this music. That's why it has to live now, because we don't know how they improvised back then exactly. And we have to bring so much of our own creativity in everything that we play. It's not, a lot of the scores are like bare bones, and there's a lot that was added on, extemporized. So if we didn't do that, it would sound pretty bare sometimes. Almost like if you played a score of a Beatles songs without adding anything that they added, you know? There's scores like that exist, just chords on a guitar. They doesn't sound at all like the Beatles. So the same thing with our music. If we don't add our personalities and our creativity and our inventiveness, it might sound a little bland, but we don't do that
That's exciting to me. I think it'll be exciting to other people who might say, "Oh, I don't like classical music," all right? They just have this little box, but where you say unleash, that gives you, what is in this time travel? What might be happening there? So thank you so much for sharing those things. And I wanted to ask, I see that Susie, you were awarded the rank of Knight of the Order of Arts and Letters.
Yes.
What is involved in that?
Well, that just happened actually, and it's from the French Republic. So I was just granted that really wonderful honor of being a Knight of Arts and Letters, and I'm just super grateful and honored. I think it's you know, I've been singing and doing arts for almost 45 years, and somebody thought I just deserved that. So I'm just gonna say thank you very much.
Time travel. Oh, yes, well, you certainly have demonstrated why this is something that would appeal intergenerationally across music styles. Improvisation. I was at the Jazz Festival on Granville a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about improvisation. So I think that helps even with that thinking that we don't have to be locked in one place, but to be open to what's flowing among, other genres.
Exactly.
Now, we're going to be hearing I've forgotten what we're going to be hearing. We have two pieces that we're going to play. Jesse, do you want to elaborate on the music?
Sure. We have either Negris or two clips from Monteverdi's Vespers, and we have Bach's Toccata in D minor on the mandolin. So I'm not sure.
Do we have to pick?
I don't know that you need to pick. I think we have time to play both, but maybe you can pick which one we hear first, if you've got one that makes sense to hear first.
Alex, any choice? Do you want to hear first? I don't have a, I think they both work.
Oh, why don't we listen to Nigrasum?
Yeah, okay. This is a movement from the Monteverdi Vespers, an extraordinary piece from the early 17th century, and it's just a very, very simple song. The piece is huge, and sometimes there's like 17, 20 people making polyphony together, and then sometimes it goes very intimate, and this is one of the most intimate moments in the piece. It's just one singer, a tenor. It's Charles Daniels in this case. He's a wonderful artist who's going to be in Vancouver, accompanied by just a bit of continuo instruments, which means anybody who feels like playing the bass line.
Good morning and welcome back to Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon. I am producer Jesse here, just popping in to let you know that we had a little bit of a mix-up with the recording yesterday. And so instead of hearing the
excerpt of Monteverdi's Vespers of 1610. Right now we're going to hear a toccata by Bach, plucked by Alan Sariel on mandolin. And then we are going to hear an even more extended version of Monteverdi's Vespers of 1610, starting with the movement Nigrosum, and then just continuing on for the rest of Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon. So you'll get a nice little early music interlude here in the late morning, early in the day. The Charlotte will be back with another episode next week. Enjoy the music.
Et deep.